I'm Jim Dixon. I'm Vice President of the American Association of People with Disabilities. We're the largest membership organization of people with disabilities in the country. I have been working around election administration and election participation for 24 years. I think that before I get into sort of some of the specific things I want to talk about, I think that we should step back for a minute and recognize that the real crisis that we have in our democracy is the lack of participation. And that lack of participation has profoundly negative consequences. It's connected to the mistrust that citizens have of government. It contributes to, a profound alienation. And yet, as Jefferson said, this country is the last best hope of mankind. So the work you're beginning on with voter registration databases can have a profound and positive effect on the trust and health of the democracy. It could also have a profoundly negative effect. I was privileged to be part of the leadership team that conceived and helped pass the National Voter Registration Act. It is dismaying, is a very polite and understated word for the fact that your committee is not going to address Section 7 of the motor voter law, which requires social service and disability agencies to offer voter registration. This part of the law, Section 7, has been poorly implemented, and recommendations from you could really help fix that. I'm going to give you just a few numbers here as soon as I get to the right recorded note. Between initial implementation of the law in 1995-6 and 2005-6, the data collected from the states indicates that there's a 74% decrease in registrations from disability offices, from 178,000 to a mere 47,000. Similarly, the number of voter registration applications from public assistance offices declined by 80% between 1995-96 and 2005-6. Nine states reported decreases of 90%. There were only 59% of citizens earning $15,000 or less were registered to vote, while it's 85% for those who live in households above $75,000. At AAPD, over the past few years, we have, with our colleagues around the country, actually checked more than 1.5 million individuals with disabilities against the various state voter registration files. This comes from more than 500 different disability organizations, and it includes all facets of the disability community, whether you're blind or deaf, whether you're paralyzed, whether you've got a learning disability, an intellectual disability. 1.5 billion. Depending on the constituency, half are not registered. The best case we found is about 41% are not registered. People with disabilities are the largest identifiable block of non-voters, and they're non-voters because they're not registered. When Congress passed the motor voter law, and I'm very proud of the fact that I have one of the pens that President Clinton used to sign the bill into law, the members of Congress in the floor debate talked specifically about the importance of registering people with disabilities and low-income persons, the disadvantaged, through the social service agencies that they connect, that they have relationships with, that they go to. Many of us do not go to the DMV. Congressman Swift, who was the prime sponsor of the legislation in the House, asked the question on the floor, why do so many people, and we're talking at least 10% of the population, at least 10%, not have driver's licenses? Why do they not go to the Department of Motor Vehicles? And quoting Congressman Swift, there were two reasons. People either have a physical disability, prevents them from driving, so they don't go there, or people have an economic disability, and they paying for it is a problem. And these days, post 9/11, the cost for going to the Department of Motor Vehicles is very high. People say, well, we'll give you the ID for free. Well, that's a false solution. It ignores the fact that it costs considerable amount of money to get a birth certificate. It ignores the fact that you, if you have a low-wage job, you got to take time off from work to go get it. And we all know that a visit to a Department of Motor Vehicles in this country is like moving in with your in-laws. It seems like it will never end. There are a number of agencies that are databases that are just leap off the page that you should be looking at. Medicare, Medicaid. These are the exact agencies that have the names and real addresses, actual addresses, of people who do not have a non-voter ID. Just another example of the way this ID system negatively affects, in California, people with disabilities. If you have a driver's license, you are notified in writing, this is in California, that your driver's license is about to expire, and so you need to go in and get it again. I spoke yesterday with a gentleman who's blind. He's a professional, he's a lawyer. He wasn't allowed on a train last week because his non-driver ID had expired, the state of California doesn't notify people who have non-driver IDs that there's an expiration date. My friend is blind. How's he going to know? When was the last time you asked somebody to look at your driver's license and say, when was it expired? So it is very, very important that you look at these databases. Now, I know that the social service databases are clunky and that this is a complex problem. And in some ways, it makes linking to the DMV seem simple. But the law is the law. And I'm sure this committee has the energy and imagination to look at this and find solutions so that precisely what Congress was, what Congressman Swift was worried about, when Congressman, in his remarks on the floor, he said the fear of just doing registration at the DMV is that it would skew the electorate, that the electorate would not reflect the citizenry. Because of the failure of implementation of motor voter, that's exactly what has happened. And I trust and look forward to working with you that we will find a way to fix this. Thank you very much.